2018, and I was going through, I was reading in 1 Samuel one day, and I came across something I had written in the margin of my Bible, and I always write when God speaks to me, and so I've got all kinds of stuff written in my Bibles and along the margins and stuff, I came across this, and I got to think about that. Wait a minute, I can remember that I preached on that one time. What I'm going to be preaching on, what our theme for 2018 is. I wasn't going to give the theme until tonight, but I'm going to give it this morning. It's is there not a cause in 2018? Is there not a cause in 2018? But as I was going through, I got to thinking a little bit about it, and I ran across the message that I preached. And that was almost 10 years ago that I preached this message. And I was going through it and looking at the causes that we had back then and the causes we have now, and a lot of them are the same. They've never changed. And I really believe that this is the year that we need to take and look at some of this. But 1 Samuel chapter 17, starting in verse 22, it says, "Then David arose and all the people that were with him, and they passed over Jordan by the morning light, that lacked not one of them that was not gone over Jordan. And when Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not..." Wait a minute, hold it. I'm in the wrong one. Sorry. I got 2 Samuel. I'm thinking, wait a minute, that's not the right... Because I was looking for my notes in here, and I'm going, wait a minute, my notes aren't here. 1 Samuel 17. We're going to start verse 22. There we go. I had the right Bible, just the wrong book, all right? Here we go. All right. This is a lot better. All right. Starting verse 22, it says, "And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran unto the army and came and saluted his brethren. As he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him, and were sore afraid. The man of Israel said, Have ye seen this man that is come up surely to defile Israel? Is he come up? And it shall be that the man whom killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach of Israel, for whom this uncircumcised Philistine, that he should defile the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, So shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Elilabed, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Elilabed's anger was kindled against David, and he said, Why comest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left these few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mayest see the battle. And David said, What have I now done? Is there not a cause? And that's where we're going to stop. Father, thank you so much for today. We thank you for your love. I just pray now that you'll guide and direct everything that's said and done, that it'll be for your honor and your glory, and we'll give the praise and thanks. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You know, all of us, probably in this room, have had pauses, haven't we? We've had things that we get behind and we want to take and help out with, you know, especially over the holidays. You know, I mean, every time you turn on the TV or you listen to the radio, there's another cause there that you can give money to help out. Now, I just happened to turn on the news this morning, and Channel 15, they raised almost $2 million this last year for Toys for Tots. Well, that's a lot of money. People jumped on the cause, and they gave, and they gave, and they gave, and they gave. Salvation Army this last year had the greatest year they've ever had as far as donation. And so people want to take and get on a cause and stay on a cause. You know, there's a cause for saving the whales. There's a cause for cancer, muscular dystrophy, and others. You know, people will get on board for causes which do not have any direct effect on them personally. Have you ever noticed that? They will jump on a cause that they have, it does not affect them in the least. And yet they will still get on for that cause. I went and I saw the other night on the news where the redwoods in California now, there's a cause there where they're trying to raise $2 million for new paths so that people don't walk up by the redwoods because they're afraid that their roots are going to get exposed and they're going to die. Yeah, but how long have they been there? You know, they've been there for years and years and years and years. Well, you know, it's a cause that people will take and get behind. But I want to look today at the phrase that David used in verse 29, is there not a cause? And that's going to be our theme for 2018. As we look at the story, we see that David was asked by his dad to take some food to his brothers who were in Saul's army. They were fighting the Philistines. And David did exactly what his dad asked him to do. It was not up to David to take that food. It was up to David's dad to ask him to go down and see his brothers and see how the battle was going on. He said, I want you to take this down there. Now, David could have said, well, Dad, I'm not going to go down there. I'm not going to take that down there. I'm not going to go down there and whatever. You know, why should I? But he didn't. He obeyed his dad. He did exactly what his dad said. He loaded up the cheese, he loaded up the bread, and away he went with the cart. He went down and he was going to take and give his brothers some food. Now, David was an obedient son. He did exactly what his dad had told him. But, you know, in order for us to get involved into a cause, there are some very important things that we need to consider. If we're going to take and get on board in 2018 here at Florence Baptist Church, there's some things that we need to consider in our own lives. The first thing is this. We need to identify the problem. You know, we need to identify the problem. In 1 Samuel 17:23, it says, and as he talked with him, behold, there came up a champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same word that David had, and David had heard them. Now, this fine fellow, Goliath, he was just kind of a short little guy. He wasn't very big. He was about between 10 and 12 feet. And so he wasn't really that large of guy, you know what I mean? He would take and he would almost hit the ceiling here if he stood in this room. That's how tall Goliath was. He would have had to almost get on his hands and knees to get through the door. And his shoulders would have been as wide as the doors that we have back there. For him to come into this room, he would have had to turn sideways, duck, and then come in and then duck his head for the air conditioning heating unit. That's how tall this guy was. I mean, this guy was huge. Now, I don't know about you, but to me, that would cause a problem. Amen? You know, here are the Israelites, and they were small people. They weren't very big. I don't think many of them were. I think the tallest there was Saul, and he was, they say, about 6'2".
And that he was a tall, he was a head and shoulders above everybody else. So he was about 6 foot two. So most of the Israelites were about 5'10", 5'8", somewhere in there. They were shorter men. Now, the problem was there was no one in the army of Saul who wanted to go against this guy. You know, there was none of Saul's men who were brave enough to go and fight Goliath. The problem was there was no way that the Israelites were going to win a battle as long as that giant was in front of them. You know, the problem was this giant. The problem was one person who stood in front of what needed to get done. Now, yeah, he was a big guy, and nobody wanted to go against him. You know, they could take care of the little people, but they could not overcome this big problem. You know, each of us will run into challenges from time to time, won't we? There are great challenges the size of Goliath that we run into. I believe that there's not a person sitting in this auditorium today that does not ever have challenges in their life. You know, I think of my life, and I think back of years, and in the 20 years we've been here at the church, I'm thinking, man alive, we went through a lot of problems and a lot of challenges. Huge, huge problems. And that's exactly what was going on here. Here we see the Israelites, they're up against a giant of a problem, and there's nothing that they can really do about it. You know, I think that of the situation that we are even in the country today, even though the unemployment rate right now is the lowest it has been in 30 or 40 years, you know, there's still people out of work. Why? Because they don't want to work, you know, but they are out of work. I was going over the statistics that I used in this, and that I remember when I gave this, and that was just after Obama had came into his first term. At that time period, we were in the recession. At that time, there was people losing their houses. There was people who were unemployed. There was people who were without food. We were scraping the bottom of the barrel for food for the food bank. You know, there were big challenges. There's big problems. Listen. We've got problems like that today yet. There's still people unemployed. There's still people who don't have enough food. There's still people who are losing their homes, believe it or not. Healthcare yet is still in a shambles. And we need to see the problem and not just what the news media puts out in front of us. Amen? You know, I got to give President Trump credit for going on social media instead of trying to rely on the news media to get his word out. You know, I'll tell you what, I follow him every day. I do. I see what's going on. Not only do I follow, I've never followed a lot of congressmen and people like that, but I do now on Twitter. I've got certain people that I follow all the time. And I look to see what they're saying. Some are Democrats, some are Republicans. And I have never seen a politician switch his views as much as Barry Sanders has in the last 6 months. He was the number one person who was against this tax reform bill. And he did protests and everything else against it. And now, what you know? Do you know the new bill that he just introduced into Congress? That this tax bill will go on forever. They only did it until 2020, I believe it is. But he introduced a bill now because the tax bill is so good. That he introduced a bill now that will extend it out another 50 years. But yet he was so against it. And I had a laugh because, President Trump, he has a way with words. And he has a way with people. And he tweeted and he said, it's amazing of how all of a sudden, when we have a good tax bill that goes into effect, how the Democrats now want to jump on board along with it to save their skin with the next election coming up. And that's exactly what's happening. Exactly. He says, let's see what happens and what they say with the new health care that we have just introduced. We'll see how many of them jump on board right away. But you know, there's always causes. I don't care where we live, what we do, or anything else. There's always causes that we can get involved in. You know, here at the church, we always have causes. You know, we need, we always are in need for food for the food bank. We have, you know, a large shortfall in our finances. We've got, we have a cause for more Sunday school teachers. We've got a cause for people to have a burden for the school. We have maintenance issues that we need to get addressed here at the church. You know, these are all causes, and, you know, they may not seem overwhelming to you, but they do to me because I'm the pastor of the church. You know, a lot of these causes that we have, they are overwhelming to me. They're just like looking at Goliath and saying, how am I going to get this done? How am I going to get through that challenge in order to get this accomplished? You know, it's great to be on the bandwagon of problems around the world, but what about here at home? What about the place we meet every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night? You know, the place where people, believe it or not, are getting saved, and there's people's lives being changed. You know, second thing is this. You know, it's one thing to have a burden or want or see the problem, but you got to have the courage to do something about it. You know, in order to have a cause taken care of, we need people who want to do something about the problem. In chapter 17, verse 32, it says, and David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Oh, man. David was the only... Think about this now. David was probably Jacob's age or a little younger. David was shorter and scrawnier than what Jacob is. And David goes up to Saul and he goes, oh, don't worry. Don't sweat the little thing. I'll take care of the Philistine. What had David ever done? Was David a warrior? What did David do? He was taking care of sheep. After all, what did his brother say to him? Who's taking care of the little sheep you take care of? Who's taking care of your sheepy, David? All you are is a little shepherd boy. You go out and you watch the sheep out there in the pasture. Who's taking care of your little sheep, David? That's basically what his brother said to him. He says, what are you doing here? Who's taking care of your sheep, David? David walks up to Saul and he says, hey, don't sweat, man. I'll take care of the Philistine. I'll take care of him. I mean, Saul stood 6'2" or 6'3". David was maybe 5'4". And he's going like this. Hey, king, don't worry about it, man. I'm going to take care of that Philistine. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was Saul, I'd go, okay, lad. Okay, laddie. Yeah. You know, I mean, he tells Saul not to sweat it. Yeah, hey, I'm going to take care of the problem. I'm not afraid of this big guy. I killed a lion and a bear, and I'm not afraid to go against this guy. Yeah, I don't know about you, but I've never killed a lion, and I've never killed a bear, especially with a slingshot. You know what I mean? Now, I have charged hell with a squirt gun, but I've never, ever, ever killed a bear or a lion with a slingshot. You know, David may have been a little bit overzealous. You know what I mean? I mean, I think maybe he just was a little bit over-exuberant in what he was saying. You know, can you imagine this little boy going against a giant who is a proven warrior? Now, all David was is a boy that could play the harp. He went into Saul's court, remember? When Saul had an evil spirit, he'd go into Saul's court and he'd play the harp. And the evil spirit would go from Saul. I mean, that's all David ever did. Other than take care of the sheep. That's it. He wasn't a proven warrior. He had never been in a battle. He'd never done anything. And yet, he wasn't afraid to go against the Philistine. You know, here's a young boy who wanted to go up against a giant. And to me, it sounds like either he was a little bit crazy or he was looking for a death wish. You know, there was no one else, though, who was stepping up. Did you notice that? There was no one else that was going to step up to fight with that giant. You know, here's this little ruddy, red-headed, freckled kid going against this giant. What was wrong with his older brothers? They were older, they were larger, they were stronger, they were in Saul's army, so they were trained to fight. What was wrong with them? They're chicken. Listen, we need people to step up to the plate when there's a true cause and take a hold of it and do something about it. You know, there's a lot of causes that people can get involved with. However, we need to look at them and see if they're for the honor and glory of God or not. We need to be courageous and have the courage to do something about the cause of Christ that is placed in front of us to do. You know, too many times we sit back, just like David's brothers did, and we do nothing about the challenges because we do not have the courage to go forward into it. The third thing is this. We need to prepare and face our challenges head on. You know, in verses 40 and 41 of chapter 17, it says, "And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistines came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him." Now, it was very interesting to look at this verse, how David went. Now, I'm just going to set the stage for you here just a little bit. Here is this shepherd boy. He has a piece of leather about this long, and there's a pouch in the middle. That's it. That was his sling. He bent down into the river, and he pulls 5 smooth stones out of that river. They sound real good, don't they, Eric? 5 smooth stones, huh? Can you imagine? What could you do with 5 smooth stones? Anything? Could you do anything with them? I couldn't. But he took five smooth stones out of the river. And what did he do? He put them in his shepherd's pouch. He put them in his bag. Now, he doesn't even have a six gun. He's only got five. Right? He only has five shots. That's it. What happens when he runs out of ammunition? Run! Right? Listen, what we need to realize is this. He went down and he picked up five smooth stones out of that river, put them in his shepherd bag, and he started walking towards that giant. Started walking towards that big giant. Now, I don't know about you, but when I got a little bit closer, I'd say, uh-oh, this is not good. Now, if I would have been David, I would have been walking and I'd have been going like this. Anybody following? Anybody coming up behind me? Can anybody help me? This is going to not be good. You know what I mean? But you know what? Nowhere does it say in the Bible that David ever looked behind him. He just went right straight forward towards that great big giant. He never looked behind him. Not once. He had his eyes focused on the problem. Ephesians chapter 6, turn there for just a second. Ephesians chapter 6. Starting in verse 14, it says, "Stand, therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Wow. You know what? I want you to look at the first part of verse 14. What's the first two words there? Stand there for. Stand. Stand. You know, it's easier to look a problem head on if we stand and look at it rather than being on the ground. Amen? We need to take and stand and look at our problem. You know, we're to have our loins girded about with truth, the breastplate of righteousness, our feet shod with preparation, the gospel of peace. We should have the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, I want you to look at those elements for just a moment. We're going to have our loins girded. We're going to have the breastplate of righteousness. We're going to have our feet shod in preparation. We're going to have the shield of faith in front of us. We're going to have the helmet of salvation. And we're going to have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, as you think about your armor, what part of you is not covered with armor? Your back. You know what? The minute you turn on your enemy, they're going to get you in the behind. I guarantee it. They're going to get you in the back. When we have problems, when we have challenges that are facing, we're to take and hit them head on and just keep going. You know, David never once turned around. Never once did he look back to see if his brothers had followed him. Never once did he look to see if the army was coming after him. You know, many times we have giants of problems and causes which come into our lives, and we turn our back in hopes that someone else is going to step up and take care of them for us. Amen? Or oh me. You know, God wants us to face our problems head on. You know, we're not to turn our backs with things that come into our lives. We're to take and face them head on. We need to make sure that we have the right armor on. We need to make sure that we got the armor on. You know, I was challenged a few years ago to take and read Ephesians chapter 6, verses 14 to 17, every day for 1 year. I did it. Every day for 1 year, I had it memorized. You'll have it memorized in 3 months, most people. But you know, we need to make sure that we've got the armor on to face our problems head on. The fourth thing is this: we need to fight for the right reasons. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 45 to 47, it says, "Then David said to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the army of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. This day will the Lord deliver thee unto my hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth, not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord, and He will give you unto our hand." Was this David's battle? No, it wasn't. This was not David's battle. But he was going to fight for the right reason. Because it was the battle of the what? Lord. It was the battle of the Lord. David was going to fight for the right reason. You know, David fought this giant because no one else would do it. David's cause was to do something that no one else there would do. David fought for the right reason. He fought for the children of Israel, and he fought for the Lord of the Most High. After all, David says, hey, we're not going to fight with sword and shield. We're not going to fight with spears. He says, this fight is the Lord's. David fought for the right reasons. You know, we can get on the bandwagon for a lot of causes which come up, whether it be saving the whales or helping the world. However, are we fighting for the right causes and for the right reasons? David went to fight the giant. He did it for the honor and glory of God, and he gave God all the credit. Did you notice that? You know, when we join a cause, we need to do it for the right reason. We need to make sure that it is a cause which will bring honor and glory to God. You know, David knew there was a cause, and he was going to fight for that cause with everything that he had. You know, I always think of the song, Only the Boy Named David, Only a Rippling Brook, Only a Boy Named David, and Five Little Stones He Took. One little stone went in the sling, and the sling went round and round. One little prayer went up to God, and what happened? The giant fell down to the ground. The Bible says that he took one stone, put that stone in that sling, and he flung it round and round. And he let that stone go, and it got Goliath right between the eyes. It said that he hit him so hard that the stone sunk into the skull of Goliath. He killed him. You know, have you ever seen a helmet from the old days? The only thing that was exposed was what? The face. David had a very small, well, it was a little larger on Goliath, but a very small window to put that stone into. And yet he did it. And yet he did it. Why? Because he did it for the right reason. He had the right attitude. He did it for the right reason. He knew that this wasn't his battle, but he was going to fight it for the Lord because there's nobody else that was going to do it. There was a cause. And he was going to go after that cause. And if it was only him to take care of the cause, he was going to do it. He's going to do it. You know, there's so many causes today. And yet, do people do them for the right reason? Do they do the causes for the right reason? David knew that there was a cause and he was going to fight for that cause with all of his might. He didn't know if he was going to live or die. I mean, you go after a guy that's 12 foot tall, I'll tell you what, I don't know. You know, the Bible says that Goliath's spear, the shaft of the spear was like a weaver's beam. Have you ever seen a weaver's beam? I have. A weaver's beam is about 12 foot long. It's a 8 by 8. And it weighs probably 300 pounds. It says that the head on the spear was 60 pounds. A 60-pound head on that spear. Now, I don't know about you. I couldn't even think about picking up the head of the spear, let alone that weaver's beam. And yet he just picked it up like nothing and threw it. Now, just think if he threw it sideways, how many people he could wipe out with one throw. You know what I mean? He'd kill a whole army. Just think what his sword was like. I mean, and here's David taking that one stone, killing Goliath. Then he took Goliath's sword. I can see it now. Comes over. And cuts his head off. Now, I don't know if it took him just one swipe or two. You know what I mean? I think the first time he's going, oh, man, am I glad I didn't have to lift that up again. You know what I mean? I don't know. In any event, he cut his head off. But listen, we need to identify the cause. We need to have courage to do something about the cause. We need to face that cause head on, and we need to fight for that cause for the right reasons. You know, each of us, if each of us would work for the cause of Christ and would set our sights on higher things, I know that we're going to live a better life. We'd see things done more for the saving knowledge of Christ. And in 2018, I believe that we need to keep this theme in mind. Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? I think each and every one of us in this room can find a cause that we can fight for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for today.